Welcome to Chat Off the Mat, the podcast that explores the transformative journey of healing and self-discovery, where energy, spirituality, mind, and body intersect. Hi, I'm your host, Rose Whippich, and I invite you to join me and explore ways to invite more holistic practices into your life. I will feature experts and practitioners who provide insights, tips, and practical advice. From Reiki to Qigong, chakra balancing to shamanism, this podcast will be your guide to understanding how these practices can lead to more harmony and greater energy. Whether you're seeking stress relief, emotional balance, or a deeper connection to your authentic self, Chat Off the Mat will provide you with insights and inspiration. Let's start discovering the possibilities that lie within you. Today on Chat Off the Mat, I welcome Vix Maxwell, also known as the New Age Hipster. She's a modern mystic and a spiritual teacher. Vix helps her fans and followers, clients and students reconnect to their own light, their inner guidance, spiritual path, and power so they can live their best and highest lives. Welcome, Vix.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I am so excited that you are here. And I just want to tell my audience that I have been following you for many years. This is a pre-Instagram. I signed up for your newsletter and I got all your tarot spreads and you started writing your books. And you just have this beautiful, high vibrational, hip, yet very soothing energy that I think a lot of people are drawn to, as was I. So I just wanted to tell people that, yes, I've just watched you grow and it's just been beautiful to see that. So I love that.
So, oh, thank you for that. Thank you. It's so nice to hear. And it's, it's been like, I've been doing this stuff for a really long time and it's always really kind of extra special to connect with people who've been along for the entire journey with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just love watching people who work so hard as you do, and I've seen you work hard, just thrive. And I know that there are so many more things that you're going to give the universe from your many talents. So what I would like to start, as I do with many of my guests, is ask you to tell us about your own, about yourself, but how it relates to your own spiritual journey.
So my spiritual journey has been very long and very slow. I know a lot of people have these like amazing kind of overnight awakening experiences. And I think that's getting like more and more common for people these days. Like you're just kind of suddenly seeing the world differently and suddenly you're into like witchcraft and magic and you're kind of like, wow, okay, I want to learn about all this stuff. But for me, it was kind of like a really very long, slow journey that kind of started when I was a kid, really. I didn't have like any of those experiences that a lot of people talk about where they're like, I saw a ghost or grandma came to me at the end of the bed. And that was my like spiritual awakening. And I love hearing about those experiences that people have. I think they're amazing, but that was not my experience. I always kind of felt like there was something else. Like I, as I was a kid, I would like talk to God because that was kind of the word that I had for the divine back then. I would have conversations. I would like ask for what I needed. I would pray basically, but that was just sort of something that I picked up like culturally, I think that, you sit down and you ask God for what you want. So yeah. I gave that a go. I don't really remember that working that well, but I still kind of sat down and did it. And then when I was in my teens, I discovered witchcraft, and that was really through the movie The Craft that came out in, I think it was 1995. And I think I was 14 or 15 at the time. That's a giveaway of my age. But I loved it. I loved The Craft. It was like this movie about these teenage girls who like found their power, like they fully just like got into the goddess practices and they were like, they were just kind of in their power. Obviously, if you've seen the movie, you know what happens at the end, how it all works out. But there was so much of that I was drawn to of just like, I want to find my power, like I felt pretty powerless as a teenage girl in the 90s. And I think We all feel that from time to time. So witchcraft was kind of my way in of like, I want to reclaim this. I want to kind of connect with this divine force that I've always felt was around in some way. And so I did that. I got into witchcraft for a couple of years. But then I kind of got to a point with it where it was kind of a little bit too much for me at that time. Like spells were working and things were happening, and at the time it was kind of like freaking me out that I'd discovered this thing that like actually worked. So I kind of started taking a bit of a step back from it. I still had my crystals and I still had like my deck of runes, and I was still kind of into spiritual woo-woo stuff, but not as much. And then a couple of years later, I got in with a Christian crowd. And I was kind of curious about what that was all about and started going to church with them. Became a born again Christian for a couple of years and kind of went down that whole path of I guess essentially what I was doing there was connecting with the Christ consciousness and the remembering of all my past lives that I'd spent in church and religion and all of that kind of stuff. And then I got to a point with the church where I felt like it didn't answer all of my questions. It kind of gave me this one thing that was helpful for me at the time, but there were still so many things that I felt like, there's got to be more to it than this. So I kind of went on my own path from there, and I started to get back into new age stuff and witchy stuff and a bit of this and a bit of that. And I was kind of just on that path for many, many years, really, exploring the tarot, a bit of this, bit of that. But I was very much a dabbler for quite a long time. And then around 2011, 2012, I really felt the call to get serious about my spiritual path. I got my tarot deck back out. I started doing online courses, all of that kind of stuff. And then that was when I started my blog, New Age Hipster, which at the time was just a blog where I just shared like my experiences and I shared my take on the tarot. I posted things like, I've been watching lots of Friends. Let's see who is who in the tarot. And I was like, Joey's the, can't even remember what I said he was now. So I did lots of posts like that and like lots of pop culture tarot spreads just for fun, really, and just because it was part of my practice and what I was into at the time. And then really what happened was I was kind of struggling a lot with work and I was feeling like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, all of that stuff. And I had this tarot reading that was just like the worst reading ever. I bought it on Etsy for like $5 or something because I was just like, I just need a little bit of guidance of what I'm doing with my life. And the reading was like cut and pasted off like a whole bunch of different websites. And I basically said to this person, am I going to get this new job? And she wrote back and said, yes, you're absolutely going to get the job, all of this stuff. I didn't get the job and I was like, what? And I told one of my friends about it and I said, I got this tarot reading and it was totally off. And she was like, why are you going to someone else for a tarot reading? Like, you're so good at reading cards. And I was kind of like, am I? Like, is that something that I can do? So as much as this reading was like, wrong, and it wasn't like the answers that she gave me were not what I was seeking at the time, that reading kind of ended up being like the catalyst for me saying, actually, maybe I could do this. And so I started to do readings for people. And then did more and more readings. And then eventually I went full time doing readings and teaching spiritual development. And now we're
Reading your
here,
own
I guess.
decks. Yep.
Yeah, my decks, my
Your
books,
decks, your
all of the
books.
things. That was a really long answer to your
No, I loved
question.
it. No, it was great. Your latest book. Let's talk about your latest book because I've been reading your latest book, Manifesting or Manifest Your Dreams. Use manifestation to change your life and find your purpose. So one of the things that you're passionate about is helping people. And there's a lot of people I feel out there, and I'm sure you know this too, that want to do something different. They're not happy with their current job, or they want to change their job, and they want maybe what you say is a spiritual side hustle. So your book can help guide them, and it offers very practical advice. And let's face it, there are a lot of things that get in the way of manifesting. So your book really helps with that. And I wanted to ask you, if you can talk about your new book, and also give us examples of what you mean by, and let me say from your book, manifestation is about your thoughts, actions, vibration, and divine assistance.
Yeah, so I think like there's a lot missing from the manifestation conversation in different books that I've read about manifestation and conversations I'm seeing people have, things that people are sharing online. I think for a long time we've sort of seen manifestation as this idea of, well, if you just think about it, it will happen. You know, if you just like hold the vision and you visualize it and you think about it, think about being a millionaire and it will just have to happen, you know, because you're putting that energy out into the universe. And you know what you that phrase that everyone says, like, you know, what you think you attract or something like that. And I always really struggled with that, especially as somebody who has dealt with anxiety and intrusive thoughts and just generally like monkey mind and all of that stuff. There's been so many times where I've got myself like completely worked up because I've had these like repetitive negative thoughts about what's going to happen or about myself or whatever. And then I start to think, oh my gosh, am I going to manifest this? You know? And I think there's so many people, especially now, like we're dealing with social media, we've got, you know, AI, we've got all of these things that people are getting a little bit like nervous about, right? Like we've all got a little bit of anxiety, I think, in modern times, to kind of tell someone, oh, well, you know, everything that you think is what's going to happen. I just feel like that's missing like a whole section of the process. So even at times in my life where I have struggled to keep my thoughts really clear and really high vibe and stay focused on the vision or whatever, I've still managed to like manifest amazing things. And I think that's because of these other aspects to it. And I think that, you know, your actions, I mean, your thoughts and your actions also affect your vibration, but the things that you do, the action that you take, I feel is like so much more powerful than just the thoughts that you have. Obviously, your thoughts are going to dictate your action, but if you're having anxious thoughts like, I'm never going to be able to get a new job, no one's going to hire me, all of this kind of stuff, but you go, you know what, I'm going to apply for that job anyway, even though I have these negative thoughts about myself. I know that on some level, they're probably not true. It's probably just my monkey mind, my anxiety, whatever. I'm going to apply anyway. And so then you apply for the job. And when you apply for the job, that shifts your energy and it shifts your vibration. And it's like, okay, maybe you don't fully 100% believe in yourself right now, but you believe in yourself enough to apply for the job rather than just, you know, sitting and thinking, well, I'm never going to be able to do this, so what's the point? So if you can kind of take action, even if you're feeling a little bit like unsure about it or unworthy or all of that kind of stuff, taking those actions can really start to shift it. And also taking action can shift your mindset too, because then you can look at yourself and you can say, well, I must believe in myself a little bit because I applied for that job. You know, so it's kind of like a, you know, it's not just a, oh, it all happens in your mind and then everything else is, you know,
Magic
comes
wand
from
and
there.
just like a genie, like a wish. If people have a
Yeah.
lot of self-limiting beliefs, and I think that
Yes.
that may stem from, it could stem from a lot of things. It could stem from when there were children. It could stem from even, current environment. And it is work. It does take work in order to manifest. And like I said, your book offers a lot of practical advice. It offers journaling to identify what you truly want. And I really encourage people who are on a journey of wanting to manifest or change their mindset or change their life and manifest something different in their lives to read it. And you also offer a free manifesting masterclass on your website.
Yeah,
Awesome.
so I recorded that. I think it's 90 minutes long, and I recorded that when the book came out. And I kind of just went through a whole bunch of things with people. I shared like some of the things that I'd manifested and how I'd done that. So it's kind of like there's the extra secrets in that masterclass as well as what you get in the book
Oh,
too.
very cool. Well, I do want to mention that you and I connected recently when I asked you to mentor me on writing a book. been writing a book. And it's a very daunting process. And you have published several books and several Oracle decks, and you also are offering an author mentorship. So you took a very daunting, path in front of me and said, okay, well, this is what you should do and what you can do and all that. And I walked away very without anxiety. You were just mentioning anxiety and all this stuff around manifesting. And I'm like, okay, well, this is great. She gave me really, and we need that. We need that practical advice and that structure. So so I know that you're working on providing that more for people and maybe building that part of your offering, which I think is great. And so I wanted to share that with you, with the audience. I wanted to circle back a little bit about the witchcraft and that term being a witch or mysticism or magic, maybe a term that is not so widely used, or it is more used these days. People may be afraid of that word or term. And I say that you can use any term like a magical chef and it would be fine, but magic seems to have this, I don't know, this kind of connotation of darkness and all that. So I wanted to ask you, what is your interpretation of a modern day witch and the term witch or magic?
I really love this question. So, for people who don't want to use that word for themselves, you can still be a magical person without calling yourself a witch. You can call yourself a magician. You can call yourself just a magical person, a spiritual seeker, a light worker. There's all these different words and phrases, and I think we just have to find the label that kind of fits best with us. I remember for a really long time I was using the term light worker to describe myself because I felt like, yes, I was doing magic, but I was kind of doing light magic. I was working with angels and ascended masters, and I was just kind of very much on that kind of path of, like being a witch is kind of like, everyone's a little bit wearing all black all the time and doing your shadow work and all that
Morticia.
kind of stuff. Exactly. Like, even
For
though
those of you that
I
know
just,
Morticia, I'm kind of dating
yes.
myself.
If you
Look her
don't, you
up.
should.
Yeah, you
Yeah,
should. Definitely should.
absolutely. Absolutely. But it was interesting though, because I'd really identified as a witch when I was in those teenage years. Like, that had been such a powerful word for me at that time. And then I kind of came back to my practice and I didn't want to use that word. I wanted to kind of be like, I'm a good witch, I'm a light witch, I'm a, whatever. And then, I remember even having conversations with people, even when I started my business. I remember I had a magazine get in touch, and they said that they wanted to do an article on modern witchcraft, and they were interviewing witches. And I said no because I didn't feel like I was a witch. Was a witch, and it was really interesting. I was like, oh, okay, like, I just kind of started thinking about it, like, well, what even is a witch, and kind of went on my long process with that, and kind of got to the point where I realized that, a witch is really just a word that you can use to identify yourself as somebody who is actively working with magic, whatever your definition is of magic. You're working on yourself, you're working on changing your life, you're working on, that you have the power to create and co-create the life that you want to live. So some people are like, oh, I'm a spiritual person that works with manifestation, and other people are like, well, I'm a witch. And it's really, we're all just doing the same thing. It's almost more that it's just like an aesthetic. It's like, are you doing it with like the tarot cards and the crystals and the velvet robe, or are you doing it with, your
With
journal and
herbs
your,
or candles, right? There's different ways, right? So I did want to talk about that because I think a lot of us fall under that category of witch or mystic or high priestess, however you label it. It's all magical and it's all about manifesting, like you said, and doing what feels good for you. So I know you're very big on creating altars, right? I think that's one of your practices. And maybe you could share a little bit about that. Like you have an altar, and what do you put on your altar, and how do you work with an altar? And an altar Doesn't have to be something that identifies with the witch. Anybody can have a table with pictures and crystals, and that's the altar.
I have so many thoughts about altars, and I talk about that in my first book, Witch Please. I kind of go into a bit more detail about what altars are. So for me, my altar is kind of it's a couple of different things, but one of the things that my altar is for me is it's like kind of it's my sacred space. Like it's kind of my portal to connecting with the divine. So whenever I sit at my portal, sit at my altar, which is my portal, I kind of sit there and it's like I'm opening up the channel of communication. It's almost like you could think of your altar as like a phone, like a landline. And when you go to the altar, you're picking it up and you're saying, "Hey,
I
let's
love that.
chat. Like, I want to talk to you about, whether it's your guides, your angels, the universe, the divine, God, whatever, whatever word you want to use for it." So for me, it's like it's the place that I go and I sit and I chat with my spiritual
Your peeps.
team.
Yeah, your
Yeah, and
team.
that doesn't mean that you can't talk to them everywhere all the time. It's like that's your landline, but you've got your mobile in your pocket. You can pick that up anytime and talk to them.
Right,
So
right.
that's one of the ways that I like to think about it. But I also like to think about my altar as kind of like a representation of it's like a representation of my own spiritual journey, my own experience, and what I'm trying to create in the world. It's almost like it's a mini version of my life in a way. So I put all of the things on there that I want to kind of like experience in my life. So I have like some cash money stuck in one of the corners. I have like the prosperity oracle cards in there. I have, a bunch of crystals for different things. I've got Archangel Michael there for protection. It's kind of like all of the things that I want to be experiencing or manifesting, I put on my altar. And one thing I find really interesting too is like sometimes I leave my altar for a really long time and I don't dust it and I don't clean it or, charge my crystals or anything. It just kind of gets left a little bit. And I notice that when the altar starts to get ignored, there's usually things going on in my life that I'm kind of like, oh, I'm too busy to do that. I'm too busy to do my altar or whatever. But it kind of, there is for me like this element of like it's a reflection of what's going on with me in my life. So when I take care of my altar, it's like a magical practice of like, well, I want to keep this clean and I want to keep this clear and I want to just, respect my altar, and then I'm kind of, moving through the world in a different way. So, yeah, that's like a really fun, powerful way to think about altars as well, that it's like this I don't really know how to describe it, like a reflection of your life or like a kind of a mini version of your life. I don't
Yeah,
know how
I
to
like
describe it.
reflection. Actually, as you were talking about it, and you even before you said the word reflection, I'd be like, it's a reflection. And you said it's a reflection. I'm like, absolutely, because it also helps. I feel I have many altars, and I think I need to create like one primary one, but I think it's a way of also grounding yourself and really connecting heart to heart with what matters to you. Versus going around and talking with your spirit guides, which I do as well. There's less distractions, and you're not called in different places. You just ground your energy, and it really opens up, like you said, that portal, that channel of communication where you can give and receive the information. I love the way you explained that, and I encourage people, and I'm sure you do too, to create altars and put out there their little favorite things and what they want to manifest. It's nice. So we already talked about your altar as a way. I'm assuming that is also a way that is part of your ritual in how what you incorporate maybe in your daily life. Are there other things that you do? I know you're an avid reader because you're always posting books that you do, and you also have card decks and things like that. But are there any other type of rituals that you would like to share with the audience that you do in your life that helps ground you or in your
Yeah,
work?
so I do have a daily practice that I do, and there is a whole bunch of different things that are a part of that. I do a I do a clearing, grounding ritual. I do protection ritual. I do a whole bunch of things. Some of that takes place just me sitting at my altar. Like every day, I sit at the altar. And if I'm away from home, or I'm for some reason I can't get to the altar, I just sit where I am. But I just kind of do that with the intention of I'm sitting at the altar. It's just this can be it can be an altar even if there's nothing there. You're just kind of sitting at the altar, connecting with the divine. So I take a little bit of time to do that every day, and part of that ritual is calling in my guides and angels. And the most important part of that practice is really giving thanks for everything that has manifested, everything that I have, all of the good things. I think that's such a powerful practice. And I often say to people, like, if you do one thing, just sit at your altar and just say thank you. Like if you don't have time and your altar is just like one oracle card and a candle, or one oracle card and a crystal or whatever, you sit there and you just say thank you, then that is like it sets you up for the day in such a different way. Like it just completely shifts your energy to just spend some time, saying thank you, counting your blessings, doing that kind of thing. So I like to do that. And then of course I ask for the assistance that I need as well. And then I do like prayers for the people that I know and people in my community, for the world, send out some healing love to the entire world. Try to do that every day because I think we need it. And then I also do some breath work practice and usually a bit of Kundalini yoga. And if I don't do physical yoga, I usually do mantra or chanting or something like that as well as part of my practice. And somewhere in there, I've probably like pulled a card or two for myself as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you I really appreciate you sharing that. And one of the things I was thinking as you're talking is like, that she just totally raises her vibration with everything that she's doing. And that's one of the things you talk about in your book, right? Having that high vibe, because when you have that vibe, that's when you really attract all the wonderful things. And just something as simple as saying thank you when you start your day, or even when you end your day, is pretty powerful, right? Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you. And you were talking about protecting your energy. It's also a practice I do. And one of the reasons why I do it is because I'm always working with people's auras. So I work with protecting my energy, whether it's clearing it through Reiki or other ways. So you also said that you find that it's important for you to do that as well. Yeah. Why do you think that it's important for you to do that, or anyone to actually do that for
Yeah,
themselves?
so energy protection was like the first practice that I really started doing daily, and I noticed such a huge difference in my experience in the world when I started doing that. I was at the time I was working in a work environment that was very, very challenging with I worked with lots of people who weren't very happy. And when people aren't very happy, they tend to have a certain vibration, and they also talk a lot about everything that they hate and everything that's wrong and all of that kind of stuff. So I was around a lot of that, and I started to feel like I was becoming like that as well. And I started to kind of have these thoughts of like, is this re like is this changing me? Like, who am I becoming? Like, what's going on? And then I discovered energy protection, and I was like, oh, okay, this could be interesting, like doing some of this while I go into work. And so I started doing all these different visualizations of, the shield of light around you, and wearing my protective crystals, and doing affirmations, all of these things. I am protected. Say, like, repeat that in the car before I go into work. And I started to have like a totally different experience in that space. I started to realize that, that's their stuff and this is my stuff. And sometimes when you do that, you realize actually there is some stuff here that I need to work on and shift within myself and start to kind of have a different experience. But like we're picking up so much, whether it's in a session with somebody, whether you're working on somebody's energy, or whether you're just walking down the street or dealing with difficult people in your family or in your life or whatever it is, it's so easy to just like absorb other people's stuff. And then we go on social media and like I always tell people, when you go on social media, you're picking up a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. I was going to say that if you're on a Zoom call, people that work in the corporate environment or anywhere, Zoom call, this energy, it's going, it's traveling. And so, yeah, so I like how you said that the light shield or I am the light or anything of these ways that people can protect their energy. And it works. Right, like you said,
It
it
does.
definitely works, and you can tell even when you walk in a room. I use this example: you walk in a room and you can kind of feel the vibe. If you're really in tune with your own energy or the energy of the space, you can walk into a room and be like, you feel that heaviness, or you feel something that just doesn't jive with your vibe. You mentioned this before. One of the things you also do is you ask spirit or your guides or your ascended masters for help and assistance. Co-creating with spirit is really important. People that do energy work or work that we do, because if we don't ask, they won't bother us. They won't come forth and assist us. Do you find that to be true? Or your, yeah.
Yes, I do. I do. And I talk to people all the time about this because I think we forget to ask. Even if we have a practice of, you call them in the morning or yes, I believe in them, I know they're with me, whatever. It's like we still forget to ask. Like whenever there's something going on in our lives, and I know like I still do this now, usually when something happens that is a little bit challenging or maybe very challenging, it's like the first place that we go is just like we just get stressed or we freak out or whatever our reaction is to that. And then like I've noticed for me, sometimes it's been like many hours later or even days later that I was like, why didn't I just ask? Why didn't I just sit and ask for help? Why didn't I just call in my angels? But I feel like I'm doing that more and more these days where it's like if I'm, in a situation or like trying to make a decision or whatever, to just kind of take a pause and just call them in and just go, can you please help me with this? Because I don't really know, what to do next. But yeah, I think that we don't ask them enough for help and support. And of course we can go too far the other way and we can get into this space where, well, I don't leave the house unless the angels tell me it's like to leave the house. It's like, well, okay. That's like, asking them for help for every single thing that's, can you help me cook the dinner? Can you help me? Like there's a point where we have to kind of
Yes, you have to do your own stuff.
do things for ourselves,
Yeah,
right?
right.
But yeah, if you're driving around the car park and you can't find anywhere to park, you can ask for help.
I
You
always
can
do.
go, please help me. Yeah.
I always do, and I get a parking space. I've been
Every
doing that for
time.
years.
Yeah. I love that one. And I used to when I first found out about angels, and I was reading a lot of like Doreen Virtue and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember there was this thing of like the car park angels. And I was like, really? And I had so much resistance to asking them for help for that because I just kind of thought like, but they're so busy. They're so busy. Like the angels are doing all of this stuff. They're trying to like solve like, world hunger and they're trying to stop wars and all of this. Like, why do they want to help me with a car space? So for a long time I didn't do it. And I was very much in that space of I'm only going to ask for help when I like absolutely am like, at the bottom of at the bottom at the very bottom and I really need
When you're
help.
circling the parking lot for 100 times
Yeah,
and
but
it's
you're circling for like, you're going to miss an
forever. Yeah,
appointment or
appointment.
So yeah, and then I was like, what, like why not? Like they want to I really just kind of got to this point. And they even said to me as well, they're just like, just ask. Like, just ask. And if for some reason we feel that it's not a part of, it's best better for you to circle the car park because there's a spiritual lesson for you to learn in that, then we won't make one available. But, if it's the best thing for you to be able to park your car and go to where you need to go, then we can help you with that.
Exactly. So that's great. I love that. And it's so great you said that because you're the first person I ever spoke to that said the same thing about the parking lot, asking for help with that or parking space, I should say. That was great.
And it's like a frustrating situation, right? And that's like putting some, you're getting yourself worked up and it's shifting your energy. Like
Stressful.
you're not in your like your best energy
No.
when you're struggling to find somewhere to park.
I agree with you. And speaking of asking for help for angels, I have twin boys, and for years, they're 19 now, they go to college. I always say to them, when they would go to school and have a test, ask your angels, call your guardian angels in. And they did. I would ask, did you call your angels? Did you ask them? Yep. Okay. So, it's a nice practice, and I think
It is.
it's very helpful.
Yeah, I wish I had had that when I was at school. I wish I had known that,
Me
when I
too.
was young, that I wouldn't, that I was never on my own, that I could ask for help for that kind of stuff.
I was thinking we're on the same wavelength, because as soon as you right before you said that, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, more younger people need to be aware of the tools that they can have. Co-creating with spirit, asking your angels, listening to your inner guidance. These are things I feel are missing. And it's like people who are maybe my age, or even your age and a little younger, we're starting to really develop these skills, but it's where we need to teach the younger generation. And I've tried to do that with my own children, and they're guys, they're young men. I've made them Reiki practitioners, and I try to instill some spirituality and some crystals and things like that. So they use it, but I think more and more people should do that, younger people. So hopefully they will. Hopefully they'll be listening to this and listening to you. You're going to guide them to do that. You've got that hip vibe, so it'd be great. Yeah. So you talked about listening. You're listening to your angels and you listen to your guides, and also that there's this. We need to also listen to our own inner guidance, right? That inner voice that, circle back to your Etsy tarot reading, right? Where you listen to someone, it wasn't really the right message. And then you asked your friend, she said, well, you could do it yourself, and you can, right? So I think a lot of people miss that. They miss the fact that they have that inner guidance. So you want to talk about that a little bit? Like, have you learned to tune into your own voice, ask those questions, and listen and get those answers? It's important, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the energy protection was huge for me being able to do that, because before I started to work with those practices, I don't think that I even really knew what my inner voice sounded like, because I had so many voices that were, like in there. There was the voice of, your parents, your some teacher that you had when you were a kid who told you what not to do, or what there's like all of the your friends, like everybody, the media, TV, like you've got all of these different voices that are kind of like, trying to tell you, oh, you should do this, you should buy this, you should be on this path, you should, this will make you happy, this will make you seven figure business owner, all of these different kind of voices that are conflicting, and they're all kind of vying for your attention. But when you do the energy protection, it's like you realize, oh, hang on, I don't think that message is for me. I don't think that's for me. And then you can so much more easily kind of tune in with yourself. And like I always say this to people, especially when I'm doing readings for people as well, like I always say, look, I'm going to do this reading for you, and I will tune in to your guides and your angels and your higher self, and I'll pass on the messages. But take what resonates. If I say something in a reading that just doesn't feel right for you, like trust that over, what your tarot reader is telling you. Because that feeling that you have of like, oh, I'm not sure about that message. This bit was good, but I'm not sure about that bit. That's the voice to listen to. That's the one that's kind of like, oh, hang on a second. But one thing I know that a lot of people struggle to figure out Is it your intuition? Is it your inner voice? Or is it like fear or worry or all of that kind of stuff? And I always say to people, your inner voice and any, your inner voice and your guidance and however it comes through for you, it will always be loving. And it may not always tell you what you want to hear, but it's not going to scare you. Like if you're getting some kind of scary kind of premonition or something, it's probably not your guidance or your intuition. It's probably just fear. So,
Right.
you can let that go.
Yeah, no, I know the scary voice. I remember a younger self, a version of myself before I understood how to protect my energy and the fact that I was also picking up everybody else's energy as an empath. I had a voice in my head that wasn't a nice voice. And I just basically said to it one day, "All right, you need to go. You're out of here. I'm firing you." And then this new voice came in that was just so much more loving and gentle. And, once in a while, it puts me on a straight path, but it does it in a loving way, So, yeah, so that's great. I love that. So we're kind of winding down a little bit, and I wanted to ask you a couple another question, and then I was hoping that we can maybe pull a couple of cards from one of your decks, if you're up for that. But the one of the questions, I want to ask you, who in your life has inspired you, like teachers or maybe people on your path or on your journey?
That's a really good question. And I know you sent me this in an email, and I was supposed to kind of think about it beforehand. But
Oh.
I even then I was kind of like, like who does inspire me? I feel like I'm inspired by like so many different things and so many different people. And I'm hesitant to really like even answer that by saying, oh, here's a list of my favorite authors, or here's a list of my favorite, favorite people in the spiritual community, because I think, I know in my experience anyway, like I've had this experience in the past where I've really put people on a pedestal, and I've looked at, especially like early on my journey, when I was kind of getting back into spirituality, like, early 2010s. That's weird to say. And I really, I looked at some of these authors who were doing amazing things, who were, a lot of Hay House authors, a lot of people that were like really big at that time. And what they were doing was really great and really helping me a lot. But a couple of them I really had kind of put so far above me that I kind of got into a weird place with that of like, looking at their stuff of like, oh, everything that they say is like they know what they're talking about and I don't know what I'm talking about. And so that was a really interesting journey for me. And then, some different things happened where I started to see like different sides of some of my spiritual teachers, and I was like, oh, okay, like these people aren't perfect after all. And that was, yeah, that was like a really big thing to kind of to navigate. So I guess I would answer that by saying there's so many people that inspire me, but I try not to give my power to any of them. Like I look at what's out there and I read certain books and I go, well, I love that bit. Not sure about that chapter. I loved what, so and so said on Instagram today, but I didn't really resonate with what they said last week. Those different kinds of things. And I think that's where we're all headed to, hopefully, like a more kind of discerning place where we can be inspired by everybody, but we can also stay in our power at the same time.
I love that. That was a great answer, actually. I think about it, it was spot on. It was spectacular. I feel the same way. You draw inspiration from different things. I'm even rereading some books that I read. I read Carolyn Mass's book, Anatomy of the Spirit, when it first came out way back then. I had no idea what she it inspired me in a certain way. Like it I was like, oh, I learned about the chakras and intuitive reading. And then I put it aside. I forgot about it. And now I read it again. And I'm reading and understanding more because of where I am in my journey today. Now, I'm not saying she's like my only person that inspired me to do anything or to be on this path. No. But there are so many others. And you pick and choose from the people that inspire you, and
Mm-hmm.
they can inspire you today, and then down the road, like you said, they won't resonate with you. And that's great. You know, like you said, be discerning. Same with social media. People that are looking at social media, there's a lot of great stuff out there. There's a lot of bad stuff out there as well. So, kind of look at everything and, and see how it resonates with you, see how it feels in your body. And don't go out down just one path, but explore. I would say be curious, right?
Yes,
Yeah, that's
yeah,
great.
I love that.
So I was hoping that maybe from one of your decks, maybe the latest deck, that if you can pull a card out and just do a general reading for people in the
Yeah,
audience, if you
sure.
don't mind.
I would love to.
I know you've
So
been
this,
doing these pop-ups also regularly on Instagram or Facebook as well.
yeah, I've been, yeah, I used to do that all the time. Like when I first started my business, I used to just do these random lives where I'd just pop on and read cards for people and just chat about whatever was coming up in the comments. And yeah, I just felt really inspired to kind of get back into that. So I've been going live every Monday on Instagram, Facebook, and over on YouTube. And that's it's Monday in Australia, but it's probably Sunday evening, Sunday night for a lot of people, even though I'm calling it Magic Monday, but for some people it's not Monday. Anyway.
Yeah. So, but I'm putting all of your links in the show notes. So I encourage everyone to follow Vix on all her platforms, sign up for newsletter, and follow, you'll see when she does her lives, and also the Instagram and Facebook. You also post pick a card for
Yes,
your reading. I love
yeah, my picking
those.
card.
Yeah, I
That's like
love
my
that.
yeah, that's my most popular thing that I do. It's
Yeah.
just like pick a
That's great.
card on
Pick a card.
Instagram. People love
Yeah. I know.
it. So this is the Galactic Guides Oracle, which is my new Oracle deck, and this is really fun. So we basically what we did with this was we personified all of the planets and the constellations, the zodiac, and some of the star systems as well. So
I'm waiting for
that's
my deck.
new.
It's I pre-ordered it and still haven't gotten it yet. I can't wait to
It
get
should
mine
be there
soon.
soon.
More like in a couple
Yeah.
days.
Days. Yeah.
And I
Yay.
resonate with all that galactic stuff too. I
It's
love
yeah,
that.
it's fun.
I'm a star
So we're
child.
just yeah, me too.
Yeah, I know you
Are
are.
we
I could tell.
yeah, you can tell. It's the vibes. You can yeah, you can
I was thinking
tell.
about that before the it just came to me. I'm like, oh, she has this astral vibe about her. I guess that's why I feel so connected, because I feel that too about myself. So
Yeah, it's like, are we a little bit otherworldly, or are we just a bit weird? I don't
yeah,
know.
I think both.
Both. Okay. So is this just like a general message for people? Okay. Oh, okay. I love this. So we have Aquarius, uniqueness, idealism, vision, and activism
Wow. Oh,
is the
I
card
love
that we
his look
have.
too. I love that. I'm an Aquarian, actually.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Oh, my
Very cool.
husband is too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
love Aquarians. They're
Yeah.
just, they're, like everyone thinks they're weird, but actually they're just really like far ahead. Like they're just living
Yeah.
like, 10, 15 years in the future, maybe
Yeah.
further
Yeah,
than
we do our own
that.
thing.
Yeah. You're like, you're, yeah. You're like,
Yeah.
everyone else is just behind.
Yeah, it's a great card.
Yeah, I love this. I feel like this is just a really powerful message for everybody to like, really follow your own path wherever you're at with spirituality or other things that are kind of coming up in life, to really follow your own path. I feel like you have a lot of listeners and a lot of people in this community who are here to do the work of like changing ourselves, but also changing the world. And of course we do that from changing ourselves. Like we make the changes within ourselves, and then that vibrates and resonates out into the world. But we're not here to just do what's been done before. We're not here to just follow in someone else's footsteps. We're here to really kind of like forge new paths and go in different ways and yeah, do
That's
something
great.
different.
Yeah, that's a great
Yeah,
message.
I love that.
It's really in alignment with everything we've been talking about. And my audience, there's a lot of people out there that are healers and do the work that we do. And I think, like myself, one of the things we want to do is just make an impact to change people's lives or awaken them to want to change their lives so that they live their best life. And that vibrates out to the universe. And I think it's a beautiful message. I can't thank you enough. This has been wonderful. You are just such a blessing and such wonderful energy. And I'm so grateful that you shared your time with me here at Chatter Off the Mat.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really nice to chat with you today and like to connect with you, because you're doing so many amazing things in the world too. So it's so
Thank
great
you.
to connect with other people who are on the same path.
Yeah, we got the same vibe. That's great. Thank you
The
so
same
much,
path.
Vix.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me here on Chat Off the Mat. I hope these stories have inspired you. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with those who might benefit. Your support helps me spread awareness about the power of transformative healing. Stay connected with me on social media. Reach out with your own healing stories or topics you'd like me to explore in future episodes. Your voice is an essential part of this community. I hope that your healing journey is filled with self-discovery, curiosity, resilience, and the unwavering belief in the power that resides within you. Until next time, I'm Rose Whippage, wishing you a journey filled with love, laughter, and endless possibilities.